Welcome, everybody. It's Jill Craig here, the Head of Investor Relations for ANZ. In the room with me, I have Michael Smith, our CEO, and David Crawford. We're going to make a few opening remarks, after which we'll hand over to Q&A. With that, I'll introduce Mike.
Thanks, Jill. First, welcome to David Crawford, who assisted me with the securities lending report. Thanks to all of you on the phone for joining us, and I know it is a very particularly busy time. I'll keep my opening remarks brief, as I assume you have seen a copy of the report that we have produced. The release of this report fulfills a promise I made in April to investigate how ANZ managed to get caught up in the securities lending and with Opus Prime. The issues explored were not the ones which caused Opus Prime's failure or the failure of Prime Broker. The key causes of their collapse were the failure to manage their own businesses appropriately, and in the case of Opus, irregularities within the firm. I want to also clarify that the report does not address broader legal issues. Those issues are subject to several legal actions and mediation. Our advice is that we have a strong legal position, and this report has done nothing to alter that view. So the role of the committee in the review. The review had to do three things. It had to examine exactly what went on in our securities lending business. It had to find out what accountability individual staff members had, and it had to quickly put in place a remedial program to address all the issues that were identified in the report. The key to making sure those issues do not happen again will be to strengthen the governance and accountability at every level of our business. So what were our findings? The bottom line is that we were in a business that we should never have entered into. And it was a business environment where the risks weren't understood and weren't properly managed. At the most basic level, staff in the business didn't understand the reputational risk and other differences between managing a securities lending business and an equity finance business. The problems were then compounded by having none of the usual ANZ risk controls and governance procedures in place. Management actions when this emerged were too slow, and the follow-up on decisions was poor. The review committee found that because of these failings, these issues were never given the proper attention and oversight that they deserved, and in particular, they were not escalated to the CEO, they were not escalated to the board committees, or to the board in the way that they should have been. All of this is completely unacceptable. So let's turn to the most critical part of the review, what we are doing to fix these issues. In our 13-point remediation plan, there are a number of actions designed to improve governance and control frameworks, particularly within the institutional bank. These actions will also benefit the organization more broadly. I want to make it very clear that I'm going to ensure that every one of these items is put in place. Moving to accountability, we have taken action against a number of employees, including formal notes placed on employment records and cuts in remuneration. Eight managers and executives will leave ANZ, including two members of the management board. I have, effective immediately, appointed Chris Page as the Chief Risk Officer, and Alex Thursby as Acting Group Managing Director Institutional, which he'll oversee in addition to his existing responsibilities for Asia Pacific, whilst we look for a replacement. Chris is a 34-year banking veteran and is one of the most experienced risk managers in the region, if not the world. And people of his caliber don't come up often. You know, they're as rare as hen's teeth. In summary, my intention is that this report, together with the actions we are taking to address the findings, will help put this issue behind us once and for all. The standards I expect for this organization and our employees are high, and I am confident that this report will trigger a clearer understanding internally about management control and accountability. With that, I'll hand back to Jill for Q&A.
Just before we start Q&A, we did have a media conference earlier in the day and the media had a chance to ask questions in the room and on that call. I'd ask if there are any journalists listening to this call, if you could refrain from asking questions, and the media team would be happy to help you with those after the call is completed. Operator, we'll hand over to you to let the questions through.
Your first question comes from Jared Martin from ABN AMRO. Please ask your question.
Good afternoon, Mike. If I can ask two questions. First of all, just a bit of a clarification. Just on this morning's media call, you did make the statement that you're looking, confirming profit was around the $3 billion mark for 2008. I just wanted to compare that to your release on the 28th where you were saying over $3 billion and whether I'm being too anal in looking at that and is it a softening in what you're saying? That's my first question. I have another question to follow up.
Well, I wouldn't like to give that description of you, but that was a clever pickup. But in fact, it's exactly the same. There's no change from the update.
Thank you. And my second question is just around the fact that there's no financial impact from the outcome of this report. I just wanted to understand, under what circumstances would you be required to increase your provisions for securities lending, and that includes Opus Prime, whether it's an outcome of a settlement, whether it's cases going against you, a deterioration in the environment, under what circumstances would you have to increase your provisions for the securities lending business?
In terms of the actual provisions, we're very comfortable where we sit. In terms of litigation expense, of course, that's something you can't provide for. At present, as we have heard, our position is as previously stated on this.
So if you did come to a settlement or if you did lose some cases, that would require you to increase provisions?
No, I didn't say that. I said there'd be no change.
Okay, thank you.
Your next question comes from Richard Willis from Morgan Stanley. Please ask your question.
Good afternoon, Mike. I'm interested in the implications of the remedial actions for revenue in the institutional division. Specifically, do you intend to tighten risk management practices in the division as a whole? Does this mean that there'll be tighter lending standards and therefore slower loan growth? Does it mean you'll not compete as aggressively for new business? And also, does it mean a reduced appetite for risk in the markets business?
It will mean that we will run the institutional business with a different mindset. It's more getting back, sticking to our knitting. It's basically to run business off the core franchise, the core relationships that we have within the institutional business, and not to be diverted into hobby businesses. I frankly think that you'll probably see an improvement in performance in institutional because there will not be the management distraction in businesses which frankly have not added very much value after the initial upfront fees are booked.
So, Mike, no need to change the risk management processes in your within your core lending business, markets business.
I think the processes are all going to be overhauled. In terms of risk appetite, I don't think we have got that fundamentally wrong. I mean, I think there are a couple of accounts that I'd rather not have. But, I think that's more an environment issue than a specific ANZ issue or an industry issue. So I don't see major change in risk appetite. And indeed, I think in markets, there would not be a reduction in risk appetite in markets. There will be a different, we won't be doing credit intermediation trades, for example.
Okay. Thanks, Mark.
Your next question comes from James Freeman from Goldman Sachs. Please ask your question.
Hi, Mike. I just wanted to firstly get a hold of where you see the other issues within the bank in terms of these type of events occurring. We've had sort of, three downgrades coming through in the last, 6 to 9 months. I'm just trying to get a bit of a feel as to are the problems floating around that you're aware of that we need to consider, or other divisions that you're looking at intently. And I guess the second area I just want to follow up with, just on Richard's question, these hobby businesses that you mentioned, just a rough size of the revenue pool in these hobby businesses that you're looking to get out of?
The rough size of the
hobby businesses you're looking to get out of?
In terms of income, they're very small. In terms of potential risk, they were quite high. But we've closed an awful lot of this already. What has happened is that we are gradually moving through the business and reviewing all parts of the business. This is not, of course, only institutional. It's also in the personal space. It's in consumer finance, and in the various geographies. We're finding some things that need to be fixed, and we're finding some good businesses which need a little bit more investment. I think that this is a normal process when you get a new CEO, and also when you see a change in the economic cycle. To me, this is just good management or sensible management. In terms of the issues that we have raised, with what I know now, everything is on the table. As you are aware, I believe in full transparency. It's something that actually the bank has done very well, and I think Peter Marriott as well as me, that over the years he is incredibly open with the amount of information that he shares with you. That will continue. That is something that the culture is continuing, and I think this report proves that. Actually, nobody likes to wash their laundry in public, but we have been prepared to do so on the basis that we put the issues behind us and we're allowed to get on with it.
So, Samai, we can confirm that you've reviewed all these small areas that seem to have large exposures but small income.
Yeah, we're gradually working our way through them. As I said before, I've picked up the big rocks first to see what crawls out, and then you move to the smaller ones,
Yep, that's great. Thanks, Mike.
Your next question comes from Craig William from Citi. Please ask your question.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Just with respect to a follow-on from James's and Richard's question, you've talked about revenue being small. What, I suppose, is the capital saving from exiting some of these businesses then, given the sort of disproportionate risk profile that seems to be attached? And I suppose, like risk officers, it seems a good institutional bank management may also be difficult to source. Given the importance of this division of ANZ's earnings and stock market rating, what are the sort of prerequisites that you'll be looking for, Mike, in terms of adding a new head for this division?
Well, the key characteristic will be the management capability. I think what we've had over the last few years in these roles are people who are either relationship managers or who are traders who've gone on to management roles. What I'm looking for is somebody who can really manage the business as a business. I think that is key. And I also think that this is actually a good time to do it because whilst risk managers are being picked up all over the world as the markets have collapsed and particularly in the US and in Europe, the frontline and institutional bankers are actually losing their jobs fairly fast. And indeed, there will be good people around. As you've seen, a lot of banks, including your own institution, are laying off quite a lot of people at the moment.
And the capital implications of the businesses you're reviewing to potentially exit?
Oh, well, Craig, that's an interesting comment because actually, as part of all of this, we have to really readdress the business from a Basel II perspective, and in fact a number of these businesses actually begin to look highly capital ineffective under a Basel II model. It's opportune, actually.
Okay, thank you.
Your next question comes from William Amentorp from Credit Suisse. Please ask your question.
I've got two questions, if I can. The first of which is around to what extent, if anything, the release of this report marks the bottom of perhaps a series of negative news items and negative sentiment around ANZ. And also, what positives, if any, do you think can come out of this report?
Well, if I answer the second one first, I mean, I think the positives are the openness, the transparency, and you know, that's what you all like. And therefore, I, you know, at times I must admit I've questioned whether or not that's reflected in the share price. But I think it is overall the sensible way to go. I think if we are transparent, people start to trust, you know, to trust us more. And therefore, you know, it is part of the continuing culture. That's the good side. In terms of other issues, well, I know what I know, you know, and I don't know what I don't know. So, you know, we are where we are, and at present, I sincerely hope this is the last piece of bad news.
Are you still happy in the role?
I've had better days, you know, but the last couple of days have not been the highlight of my career, I've got to say. But, you know, let's look at the perspective of global banks and the banking industry around the world. And if we'd been having this conversation last year, it would have been a very different one. When you consider the state of august institutions, including your own, you know, last year, it would have been, you know, we would just be in a very, very different space. And the fact that the Australian banks have actually continued to perform so well and have come through this crisis very much better than those in North America or in Europe, I think is a credit to the Australian banking system. But as you know, we're not getting an awful lot of recognition of that fact.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from James Ellis from Credit Suisse. Please ask your question.
Thanks, thanks, Mike. If I listen to the media conference call this morning and read the report, in terms of just summarising what went wrong, it's largely portrayed as reflecting, you know, incompetence by certain staff and some people not doing their job. Can you just confirm, though, that there was no active gaming of the system so that, you know, the people who were growing equity, the equity financing business, were, you know, weren't actively, you know, finding cracks in risk management, weren't actively circumventing controls?
Yeah. No, I mean that's something that we have spent a lot of time dealing with. It is hard to accept that incompetence is good. But in this case, it's better than the alternative, which would be a conspiracy. We found absolutely no evidence of that. And from what we can see, yes, it was a question of mismanagement. And whilst it's not very nice to have to admit to that, I guess it is better than a conspiracy.
Thanks very much.
Your next question comes from Peter Ephraimus from ComSec. Please ask your question.
Good afternoon. My question's perhaps directed to you, Michael, in your capacity as a director of the company. This report has outlined a string of, you know, poor management, stupidity and ignorance, if you like, in certain areas of the bank's operations. And it seems to have found that basically you draw a line below the previous managing director and everyone above that didn't know enough about it to really be held accountable. Do you think the directors of the company should actually be, you know, do you think the directors of ANZ can actually be satisfied that there isn't something else they should be doing to make sure this doesn't happen again? I mean, this has gone on in a company. I would have thought ultimately the responsibility for knowing what's going on in the business actually starts from the board and flows down.
Well, of course it does. I mean, I don't think anybody's saying it doesn't. The question that, you know, the board and the senior management are responsible and accountable for the management of the company.
Mm-hmm.
However, I think people tend to forget just how large banks are and how large an organization this is. And this particular unit is a very small business in an area which is a long way from site. Now that's not an excuse. There's no excuse that the controls and procedures that are in place for the vast mass of our business, you know, the other 99.9% of it, which seems to work pretty well, you know, should apply to 100%. But this was a case where there was mismanagement, there was error. It got compounded by a number of issues, and you know, having discovered it, well, we will fix it. But in terms of financial magnitude, it is of course very small, both in earnings and in terms of loss. The issue here is all about reputation, and of course, you know, that is a very serious issue for a bank.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Richard Willis from Morgan Stanley. Please ask your question.
Mike, you've made some comments at recent updates about the global credit environment and also about its impacts on the domestic economy. Do you think that in recent months the outlook in both those spaces has deteriorated? Are we any closer to the end of the global credit crisis, and with the change in, or the apparent change in view of the Reserve Bank, do you think the outlook for the Australian economy has changed?
No, I don't think anything has fundamentally changed for the better. I think that the problems in the US continue, and in the UK particularly, but in continental Europe, I think, you know, there's still issues. I think that the banks now, though, seem to be, you know, as John Stumpf said, you know, from Wells Fargo, I mean, they're back to the traditional ways of losing money rather than the new ones they invented. And I think that the markets are a little bit more comfortable with that because they understand it a bit better. They understand the actual downside risk better. But I suspect we're going to see a fair amount more pain in the U.S. banking system and probably the U.K. banking system. And how far away is this? You know, I still think we've got a very rocky year. Is it going to be more than that? I suspect it will be. I think it's probably another 18 months to run. And I still believe that we won't actually get a proper adjustment to the credit markets until we have really seen the bottoming of the real estate, of the personal real estate market in the U.S., and until we see investors back in that sector.
Operator, if you're there, we'll take one more call.
Your next question comes from Scott Manning from J.P. Morgan. Please ask your question.
Thanks, Mike. I know that noticed that APRA get a copy of the report as well. There's been previous instances with other banks where the regulator has forced a bank to hold increased capital levels in light of irregularities. Just interested in getting your thoughts on how APRA will perceive ANZ's operational risk going forward, considering it's a specific part of your capital requirements now.
Yeah, I mean, I think our working relationship with APRA has been very good. We've been very open about this report. You have to remember that we initiated this report, not APRA, but we have shared it with them and given it to them. We will give them also a list of accountability and timings on the remedial program, and we will work through with them. We continue to be very strongly capitalized. We have extremely good liquidity. We have a good cover on provisions. Therefore, the balance sheet is as strong as it should be in these sort of conditions, with a possible economic softening around the corner. I don't see that there is any major concern from our regulator, and we're addressing the problems that we've identified.
Thank you.
Operator, we'll hand over to Mike to finish up the call now.
Okay, thank you. Well, thank you for joining us today. And let me finish by saying that there's no doubt in my mind that the result of this review, ANZ will be a stronger, more effective business and with more robust governance and control. Everyone in the bank will have a much clearer view of management accountability, and I think we can rest assured that is happening. Whilst we must learn from what has happened, I don't mean to be detracted by it. Our underlying business are performing well, and we are still on track with our strategy. So, you know, we now have to get on with it. Anyway, many thanks for joining us today.